Good morning, and we greet you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, one who came to earth, showed us how to live, died for us, and provided our salvation, and is coming again. He's interceding for us. Now, I know that these chairs are very comfortable. I've sat there for a little while, and Bible school has good chairs. But you're probably ready to stand a little bit, so go ahead and stand up. Just for a little bit of exercise. If you want to say good morning to the person next to you or behind you, you can do that. Okay, you may be seated. Now, I'd like some other people to stand. Those of you who married the right person, you may stand. You see who that is? How about those who would? No, I'm not going to ask you to stand if you would like to be one of them. Now, you either were smart in your choice, you were wise, or else you were fortunate. If you were neither, you may sit down. Okay, they're either smart or they were fortunate. But you may sit down. Thank you. What is the meaning of smart? You know any smart people? Are you a smart person? Are you intelligent? Do you know smart people? Smart people, those who think they're smart, some of them will admit it, and some won't. Some of them are meek. They're humble. And so they won't present themselves as being smart or being intelligent. This quest for smartness started way back, right after creation. We go to Genesis chapter 2, and here the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." What was the name of the tree? The knowledge of the tree of smartness, the tree of wisdom? It's called the wisdom, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge. What did Satan say in chapter 3 to Eve? He said that he asked her, "Can you eat of every tree of the garden?" And Eve answered correctly. She said, "We may eat of every of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day thereof, when your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Knowing. It's going to give you knowledge. And the woman saw the tree that was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to make one knowledgeable. No, a tree to make one wise. What did she do here? Her sight deceived her. God and Satan both said knowledge. Both referred to knowledge, to knowing. And she said wise. She thought wise. It'll make me wise. That's not what the tree was for. The tree was for knowledge of good and evil. Her thoughts deceived her. Now, I don't know how many of you like seven-layer salad. Have you heard of it? Seven-layer salad. You like it? That's what I thought we're going to have this morning when Brother David started out. because he went to Proverbs chapter 2, and I was cringing. But here we are, back at Proverbs chapter 2. You can turn to it again. And we're going to read the first 12 verses. I like seven-layer salad. Several years ago, I was preaching in the evening at a certain place. And after I was done, the bishop got up and he said, "Well, folks, you know what God's message is for you today." And I thought, ooh, was I so dogmatic in what I said? What? I didn't want to come on that strong. After the service was dismissed, we went to the back and he said, "I preached that same verse this morning. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. 4 points, and he had 4 points. So sometimes God leaves in mysterious ways, but here we are. Proverbs chapter 2. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy heart unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, and from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman also." Wisdom delivers from evil men and evil women who speak perverse things. Froward means perverse. Who speak perverse things, froward things, ugly, dark, dirty, evil things, things that are wicked. They talk about those things, and they think those things, and they do those things because their hearts are wicked and not in tune with God's heart. Proverbs 24, verse 3, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant things." Through wisdom, a house, meaning a family. A family is built through wisdom, through accepting God's plan for a family. What is God's plan for a family? A man and a woman. And marriage is honorable in all, whether they are Christian or Muslim or Hindu or whatever they are. Marriage between a man and a woman is God's plan, and it's wise to build families by God's plan with a man and a woman, choosing God's plan. But through wisdom, a family is built. And by understanding, by accepting each one's role in the family, it is established. A son, a daughter, a mother, a father, each have their role in the family. And to understand your role and to do your role, to live your role in the family, is understanding. It's wisdom. It's wise to accept your role in the family. And if you're one of the older children and you're in charge of the younger ones, when the mother and father are gone, well, it's your responsibility. You understand that. You're responsible for what happens there. And the younger ones, there's a few younger ones here. And if you're one of the younger ones and your older siblings are in charge, it's understanding to obey them as you would your mother and father, and to take your role in the family. By knowledge shall its chamber be filled with precious and pleasant riches. Knowledge comes from open relationships. to know your parents' desires, for your parents to know your desires. Through knowledge, the chambers of the house are filled with precious and pleasant things. And then you can sing, precious memories, how they linger, how they ever thrill my soul to think back to years gone by and to think of that and how precious it was to live in the home of your parents, to establish your own home, and for your children to remember those precious promises, precious experiences, memories. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is pleasant to the soul, Proverbs 2:10. Knowledge is pleasant to the soul. We enjoy knowing things. We enjoy learning things, most of us anyway. I hope all you students here at Bible school this year have a desire to learn. If you don't, well, then I pity you. But if you have a desire to learn, you will be blessed. How do you learn? How does a 3-year-old learn? By asking a constant stream of questions. Is that the last question? No, there's another one coming. That's just the way 3-year-olds are. 4-year-olds, they ask lots of questions. Why? Because everything is new to them. And they're learning. They were trying to figure out what words mean, and now they're trying to figure out what other things are. And they're learning. And so it is all of our lives. My 3-year-old days are 70 years gone, and I'm still trying to learn things because I haven't learned it all yet. And there's a lot of names here to learn. And you know, when you're 73, the names don't stick as much as they did earlier. And you have to know that I'm not a young man anymore. And so if I forget your name and I asked you 17 times what your name is, well, then you tell me 17 times and try to do it graciously, because you just know that that's the way it is for older people. And you understand older people. We try to understand younger ones. We think we do. And if we don't understand you, well, you just have to tell us again or something, and we'll figure it out. We were young once, too. And so you learn by asking questions. You learn by reading. You're going to have some reading assignments. We'll read them. And think about what you're reading. When you're reading it, you're going to have some reading assignments. And another assignment you're going to have is to listen. You know, looking out the window doesn't always help with listening. Or looking at your classmates doesn't always help with listening. Looking at your teacher might help. Looking at what's presented. But listen, observe, to know, to learn. And then when we are presented with facts, we need to acknowledge those that are true. That's what acknowledgement means. The middle of the word acknowledgement is knowledge. To accept the truth and to value it as facts. Most of you are too young to have known Oliver Hess. Maybe some of the older ones remember him, but he was a great Mennonite historian, as far as I was concerned, and he could stand up and start out with notes and leave his notes and just go on and on and on, giving dates and facts, and this person said these words on such and such a date and such a place, and this happened here and that happened there, and he could give these facts one after another. And I said, Brother Oliver, how do you do that? Well, he said, you can remember anything that's important to you. And I said, no, I can't. And he said, well, the reason you can't is because it's not important enough to you. He said, if it'd be important enough to you, you would remember it. I still haven't accepted that fact as he presented it. But there is some truth to it. The things that we want to remember, if we really, really want to remember them, we can remember a certain amount of them. Understand. That's knowledge. What is understanding? And how do we get it? Verses 2 and 3, so shalt thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. We need to apply our hearts to understanding. We need to, in faith, accept those facts that are given to us. Thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. Have faith in the facts, that these are the facts. This is how things will work. This is how things do work. And this is what has happened in the past or whatever. To accept them, to accept that Jesus is the Messiah, as our brother shared with us, and that he is Lord and Savior. To accept that fact in faith. Anselm said, I do not seek to understand in order that I may believe, but rather I believe so that I may understand. I believe so that I may understand. To exercise faith in God, faith in the things of the scriptures, so that we can understand who God is and who we are and what he wants us to do. That is understanding. Anselm also said, I think so that I may understand. Thinking. There's faith and there's thinking. I don't know how many of you, your parents said, well, what were you thinking? I know my parents asked me that. What were you thinking? What'd you do that for? Well, I don't know. Think before we act. Think and accept in faith. Ronald Reagan said, facts are stupid things. Is that right? 10:11. Does that make any sense to you? As a fact, 10:11. You think, well, 11 comes after 10, right? Well, that's a fact. But is it important? 10:11, is that important? Well, you put 2:6:9 in front of it. 2:6:9, 10:11, that's two facts together. Facts are stupid things. Now, if you say, well, Lester comes from South Central Pennsylvania, so his area code is probably 717. Now, there's another two more facts. You put that together, and you have 717, 269, 1011, and that's Lester's phone number. Now you understand the importance of those facts. And maybe it's not important because you're never going to call me anyway, but that's how facts fit together until they make sense. You put facts together. Facts by themselves are stupid things, but you put them together and you have understanding. And that's how it is. You'll put things together. You'll be presented a lot of facts in the next 3 weeks. Put them together. What do they mean? How can I use them? And then use them. And that is understanding. How do you get understanding? Well, you listen intently. Listening is an art to develop. It's possible to hear without listening, but listen to understand. It's an art. Evaluate the information. Sort out the facts. Are they useful or are they not useful? If they're useful, remember them. If they're not useful, forget them. Not every fact needs to be remembered. How do you know which facts are useful and which are not? Well, first of all, consider the source. Where did it come from? Who's saying it? What's the origin of it? What is its value? Is it true? If it's not true, if it doesn't have value, we don't need to remember it. My cousin's husband was in his 80s, and he was on his deathbed, and I went to visit him. And he said, you know, Lester, you get to this age in life, you had a lot of experiences. And he said, the only ones you remember are the really good ones and the really bad ones. The rest of it, it's just kind of, it's gone. It didn't matter. But the really good ones, the really bad ones you remember. And you know, that is true. That is very true. That's what you remember, the things that made an impact on your life. Verse 2 says to listen. Verse 2 also says to apply yourself, to tune your heart, to get on the right page. I visited a classroom, a first grade classroom, several years ago, and the students were supposed to be following after in their books, and there was one little boy in his first grade class in the back seat in his row, and he was paging and paging and paging, and the teacher didn't notice that he couldn't find the page that the rest of them were on. And I pitied the poor little boy. I wish I would have helped him find his page. I should have. If I'd have been intelligent, I would have, but I didn't. But he wasn't on the right page. We need to tune our hearts, apply our hearts, and tune our hearts. Be on the right page. What are we studying? Verse 3, to make a serious request. Cry after knowledge. Make a serious request. Tell me. Explain it to me. Show me. Make a request. Ask questions to understand. One of the things that teachers can take for granted is that the students understood, and maybe they didn't. So if you don't quite understand, ask a question. You say, well, I don't want to ask a stupid question. You ever hear there is nothing like a stupid question? That there is, and I'll tell you what it is. Some people said it's a stupid question, it's the one that's not asked. I don't quite agree with that. A stupid question is one that you don't ask sincerely. You're asking it to try to be funny. Or not sincere. But if you are sincerely asking for information, you really do want an answer. That's not a stupid question, even though it may display your ignorance of the concept or whatever. Study and seek for answers. Verse 4, if thou seekest after her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, do your own research, study, and learn. That's for understanding. What you will understand, you will understand the fear of the Lord. The fear or reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Verse 11, understanding. Understanding shall keep thee. Discretion shall guard thee. Discretion is the power to make right choices. And understanding is going to keep you. It's going to be a security for you. And how will understanding keep you? In verse 9, Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. If we keep on the right path, following God in his way for our lives, it will be a security for us in life, that we will not be taken by the wicked man or the wicked woman that is referred to here in Proverbs chapter 2 and following. Wisdom. Where does true wisdom come from? Verse 6. The Lord giveth wisdom. God gives wisdom. That's what Solomon asked the Lord for, and God gave it to him. Solomon was wise enough then already to know that it's God who gives wisdom. And God gave him more of wisdom than what he ever had before. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Wisdom to make right decisions. Verse 7. God lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. Sound wisdom. What does that tell you? Sound wisdom? Is there another kind of wisdom? Is there unsound wisdom? Yes, the wisdom of this world is unsound wisdom. It's not good, solid wisdom to build your life on. Sound wisdom. Wisdom comes from knowing the scriptures. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto God through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I was blessed by hearing this group this morning quote Psalm 1 from memory. That's a blessing to hear that and to know it, to have it in our hearts, that we know that, to know the scriptures and to be able to quote verses in times of trouble, in times of perplexity, that we have a verse that we have memorized that can help us in making a wise choice. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. It is wisdom hidden from the world, but we can show it to them and share it with them. It's a hidden wisdom, but it is not secret. We can share it. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The worldly wise, He takes them in their own craftiness. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Romans chapter 1 talks about a perverse people who became more and more and more perverse as they went on. Did not even like to retain God in their knowledge. And in the end, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Why? Because they forsook the way of the Lord. And they put him out of their minds, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. Wisdom comes from accepting God's way. Romans 16:19, Paul said, Your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Yea, yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. What does simple mean? Simple means ignorant, innocent. We know that nightclubs are a place where a lot of evil goes on. But we don't know much about it. And it's good we don't. We don't have to know what goes on there and how they do things. That's not our business. We don't need to know that. There's a lot of other wicked places that we're not familiar with. We're ignorant about those places. Well, good, let it be that way. Just walk in your ignorance then and be holy, because God is holy and He expects us to be holy. And those are things that we ought to be ignorant of as to what goes on in those places. I don't know if you have them out here or not, but in the East we have these, what they call adult bookstores. I don't think there's anything adult about those bookstores. I think that those are wicked places. And there's nothing adult about what they sell in there, as far as I'm concerned. What they sell in there is pornographic materials and all kinds of things that go with that. You know what that is? It's a childhood perversion, a childhood inquisitiveness that has grown into an adult perversion. So we could call those an adult perversion bookstore. That's what it is. It's a perverted place and perverted business that they are in. We should be ignorant of those places. And I know you can get it right there on your phone if you have a smartphone. It's right there. You can get it. Be ignorant of it. Don't even go on those sites. It's wise to avoid that. The brother talked about walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Do fools walk circumspectly? Absolutely they do. Circumspectly means to look around. A fool looks around for what? Well, there's something exciting I could do. Oh, look at that. Oh, wow. You know, I could get involved in this. Whew, wouldn't that be neat? I could do this. But that's the fool. But the wise looks circumspectly too, and he sees those same things and says, that's not for me. I'm going to pass on and go away. And that's what the Bible tells us, that we should pass away from those things. You talk about passing away? Well, it means to die, doesn't it? Maybe you know a man that smoked cigarettes, 2 or 3 packs a day. And there he is, he's lying in his casket. You go to see him, and if you would offer him a cigarette, you say, "Well, I know that you like Camel cigarettes, boy. You know, here's one. You want to light up, puff away, buddy." Is he going to puff on that cigarette? Well, no, why? Because he's dead. He's not going to puff on that. You offer him a beer, whatever kind of beer. "I know you like to drink. Here, have a drink of beer." Is he going to drink it? No. Why? Because he's dead. Maybe he was addicted to pornography, and you hold him, no, you wouldn't, but hold a pornographic magazine in front of him. Are it's going to bulge out? No. Why? Because he's dead. That's what the Bible talks about, being dead to sin. We don't respond to those things. We walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1. "Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Christ is made unto us wisdom. Follow in his steps. How did he live? And then live according to his pattern. Wisdom. Knowledge. Understanding. Put facts together. Understand. And make wise choices. And you will be blessed. That is a promise. God bless you. As you study these next 3 weeks, as you relate to one another, learn to know each other, that you would make wise choices the rest of your life, so that when you get to the end of your life, you're not filled with a lot of regrets. But you can look back and you can say, "It was a good life. I made some right choices, but I was fortunate a lot of places too." And God bless you.